And
So you know, we saw that with Srila Prabhupada that Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't, you know, a scientist. Mm. He wasn't, you know, a biologist, mm. A cosmologist, an astronaut, mm. you know, or any of these different things. But nor a psychologist. But he would challenge everyone, mm. no matter which department of education, mm. which is way above the knowledge of the common person, and they could not defeat him, and their knowledge always appeared to be insignificant, feeble, and you know, shaky, mm. because he could see everything, because he could see, because he saw Krishna, he could see everything. Everything mm. is within Krishna. Mm. So you could talk to Prabhupada about the most practical things, mm. and he would understand. Mm. Brahma created this universe. You know, that is mm. a very practical.
Yeah.
He did that by after he saw Krishna. So, but there is a conception that you know, if a devotee's always got their head in the books of the Bhagavatam, mm. Bhagavad Gita, thinking about Krishna, mm. That somehow they won't know anything else. Mm. But the other interesting thing is that we may not have been educated in so many different matters. But because we know Krishna, mm. it will all be revealed. Now, we may not have done a course in medicine, you know, a course in predicting the weather, mm. you know, a course in this or that or the other. But everything will be revealed to the devotee mm. just because they study Krishna. So actually, a devotee becomes qualified. You know, therefore, Prabhupada used to, he would say that a devotee should know a little bit about everything and everything about one thing. Mm. Bhakti, Krishna, as far as possible. And if we become Krishna conscious, that may seem like a big task. How do you know a little bit about everything? You just know about Krishna, and you know something about everything.
So, just at this point, a devotee should know something about everything, mm. and. And everything about Krishna.
Yeah.
I have heard in another context, a devotee should know something about all services, and one service should know fully like that. Is that a valid statement? That is, one should be expert in at least one service, but other services at least you should be able to manage.
That's right. Well, it is part of, you know, mm. I mean, knowing a little bit about everything
yeah.
should also include about all, especially to the devotional side,
yeah.
you know, services,
yeah.
definitely, yeah.
yeah.
But it is natural that one, you know, if one is sincere and Krishna authorizes a devotee, you know, wants a devotee to perform a particular service because Krishna can understand that this devotee is well suited for it.
Mm.
And, you know, that's for the best interest of effectively spreading the Sankirtan movement, then definitely, you know, that devotee will become very expert in that by the grace of Krishna. And similarly, sometimes, you know, we also see that devotees may take a Prabhudatta desh, a particular place where they preach, because they do very well in that place. You know, people respond to them, they get a good result. Some people, you know, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was asked, you know, to come to Australia, he came to Australia, but he just admitted that he just couldn't relate to Australians very well. And so others came. But and others, they related very well, and were able to therefore, you know, so it became their Prabhudatta desh to a certain degree. So yes, devotees, you know, in that way, especially revolving around the devotional service and where they're preaching. So, but you know, it's natural that you know, Krishna, you know, it's natural that if a devotee becomes somewhat of an authority figure within ISKCON, you know, many people will ask them, you know, or, you know, want their advice, you know. They may not necessarily think that they're completely expert, but they may think that their opinion is, you know, worth hearing. So, you know, Krishna will make sure that that person who Krishna has placed in that position, you know, has a good understanding. Krishna will give, Krishna will teach them. As I was listening to a lecture this morning, you know, there's a few lectures this morning, Prabhupada was saying that, that, you know, again, in relationship to Sanatana Goswami, if a devotee tries to make themselves fit for the service of the Lord, fit for the service of the Lord means that they're very eager and very sincere to serve the Lord. And they that is the qualification. And to do that, they therefore, as a blank slate, place themselves before those who are authorized to preach and to teach. They know that Krishna has given themselves to that person, so they follow that person. Or you can give me Krishna. Krishna prapti ahoya. Guru, you can give Krishna to me. So that is the qualification. Very sincere, and then they place themselves as a blank slate under the shelter of the person that they know is already been authorized, you know, by Krishna. Prabhupada said, if one does that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will teach that person everything. He said, Lord Chaitanya. He's acting through so many different channels. There's the books, there's the holy name, there's the guru, there's the Vaishnavas, you know. There's sometimes, you know, just circumstances and, you know, different events and places and, you know, Krishna will, you know, arrange for them to see this and to be here and to hear from this. You know, so Lord Chaitanya will teach. He will make sure they go to the right places, just like, you know, Sanatana Goswami. He sent them, you go to the right place, you go to Vrindavan. And of course there, you know, already you've got personalities like Lokanath Swami, and there's other Brajabasis, and, you know, it is the perfect place to study the scriptures and to think about Krishna and to begin, you know, the Krishna consciousness movement. So, that's the interesting thing, that, you know, one approaches a spiritual master, the Vaishnava, very sincere, very eager, blank slate, not feeling one has any material qualifications, He says, Lord Chaitanya would teach that person. As it's Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tara
Pravatam.
Yeah. Unless one is empowered by Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, one cannot glorify, not can spread the glories of the holy name. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot in this verse here. This is the basis of it. And again, the interesting thing here is that everything is within the Lord, but Prabhupada, in his purport, he doesn't say, therefore, go and look at the Lord.
Mm.
He says, go and hear from the Guru.
Mm. Yeah.
Because if one goes to the Guru, then Krishna, that's what Prabhupada said, then Lord Chaitanya will teach that person. If one doesn't go through the Guru, Lord Chaitanya will not authorize that person. He will not teach him. So everything is within Krishna. And the other interesting thing here is that if we go to the Guru, we understand. Well, if he knows Krishna, he knows everything I need to know, because, you know, if he's seen the truth, then I can ask him, and I need to understand. And if, you know, the Vaishnava, the Guru, if they feel that what Krishna has allowed them to understand is sufficient, for, you know, to give faith in the disciple, but they may say, for some particulars, for, you know, more detail, go and see this Vaishnava and study more deity worship, preaching, book distribution, management, whatever, like that. But the Guru will know that for this disciple, you're best to see this one for some further information. Otherwise, we may go to the wrong person. But even that, the Guru will know. No, no, a little bit more you can get from this one. So there's a lot in that. My dear Lord, who are always fully independent, this entire cosmic manifestation arises from you, rests upon you, and ends in you. Your Lordship is the beginning, sustenance, and end of everything, like the earth, which is the cause of an earthen pot, which supports the pot, and to which the pot, when broken, finally returns. O Supreme, you are independent in yourself and do not take help from others. Through your own potency, you create this cosmic manifestation and enter into it. So, of course, you know, the example there is given of the earthen pot. But, you know, we know that the earthen pot is fashioned by someone else. Here it's explaining that that analogy explains that everything is resting upon the Lord, but still he's not taking help from anyone else by his own energy. He is doing everything. Those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are fully in knowledge, can I get a little water? Thank you. There's a lot of dust around lately. Those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are fully in knowledge of the authoritative sastra, and who, through the practice of bhakti yoga, are cleansed of all material contamination, can see with clear minds that although you exist within the transformations of the material qualities, your presence is untouched by these qualities. I might just pause there for a minute. We'll just wait till Balava Guru Sundari comes back. Just while there's a short purport here, we can just read this to ourselves, this little one here, just while we're waiting for him to come back. Some important points in here. And just read through the next purport as well, because they're both... You know, a lot of the points from this first verse are mentioned in the second purport, which is the big one, so we'll just read through that as well.
Probably one thing another. You know, we see it many, many times the same philosophy actually repeating, just an observation. So if you read Prahlad Maharaj's prayer...
You can start that if you want. Ask your question again.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And Balabha's tape's still going anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just share another one.
Yeah. Okay.
In Prahlad Maharaj's prayers also, the principle of Achintya Bheda Bhedatva comes many times. And here also we can see how the Lord is independent, He is separate, but at the same time He is investing in the energies. And so in one sense, you know, this philosophy is repeated so many times. However, when we approach through parampara, then only we understand. Otherwise, those who study Bhagavatam, those who speak Bhagavatam, they attract a lot of people, but this philosophy never actually get across.
No, that's right. It's repeated again and again, but they never understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they never understand even the first lesson.
Yeah, even Bhagavad Gita also, it is repeated still.
Yeah.
Never it is coming through, no one speaks, or that philosophy is just...
Thank you. It is repeated, but you find that as it's repeated, some things are emphasized which may not have been emphasized the previous time. So yeah, I find this with children, you know, with my daughters. Sometimes I begin to tell them something, and I say, "Dad, I've heard this before." And I said, "I know you've heard the first part, but what comes after I haven't told you." I know that because I can see, you know, for children, as they're growing up, when you tell them the first time, they're a little younger. But when the same thing comes up next time, you can tell them something more. And they think they've heard it, but now they're ready for something else. So the Bhagavatam is like that. We tend to miss a lot of the Bhagavatam as we go through, because I've caught myself out doing this, actually. I've caught myself out doing this here in Prabhupada's lectures. Sometimes I'm driving. When I'm driving, I always listen to Prabhupada lectures. And I hear him begin to say something, and my mind says, "Oh, yeah, I've heard this, you know, a few times." And then, you know, for about 10 or 20 seconds, you know, I catch myself, my mind's gone off, and then I'm thinking, "What's he saying? What's he saying?" With, you know, this wonderful, you know, transcendental nectar. Oh, I have to put it back. You know, because you introduce something with something they've heard, because you're going to add to it, but it's connected. So you have to hear the first part again, but it's connected. But the Bhagavatam is like that, that we quite often feel, yes, I've heard this, but it is being repeated because there's something where, because we've gone through 8 cantos now, there are things that we're going to hear which we may not have been emphasized previously. And so... So it's quite deep like that. But as the point you're making is that even the essential part of it, which may be repeated again and again, they don't even get that, what to speak of all the follow-on realizations. So, and what you're saying is because they don't take shelter of the devotee and bhakti yoga, and that's what being mentioned in these verses and these purports. So that's what we're going to look at here. So what we'll do is I'll read the translations to 11 and 12, and then we'll discuss both. So the 11 we read, so I'll read 12 now. that I'll read 11 again. O Supreme, you are independent of yourself and do not take help from others. Through your own potency, you create this cosmic manifestation and enter into it. Those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are fully in knowledge of the authoritative Shastra, and who through the practice of Bhakti Yoga are cleansed of all material contamination, can see with clear minds that although you exist within the transformations of the material qualities, your presence is untouched by these qualities. So this is the extra bit, that how the proper position, transcendental position of the Lord, always remaining a person, despite the fact that everything is Him and rest upon Him, and how to see that through advancing Krishna consciousness. How does that take place? Through the Shastra, through the practice of Bhakti Yoga. So then, in that purport, of course, Srila Prabhupada, he first of all just simply explains how the Lord simply does that, and that is that, you know, the Lord expands as Gavadakshay Vishnu, enters within the actual universe, and then controls the material energy to manifest the material world, but he's fully in control of it, so therefore he never becomes baffled by the material energy. In the same way, you see a spider. Krishna's the original Spider-Man. Spider-Man is very popular. A spider will create his web, but the spider can run all over it, but they know there are certain parts that aren't sticky to them. They know the parts not to touch, but they're in full control of it. So they can expand it, wind it back up. They can catch anyone who touches it will be caught, but they never do. So we see that. And again, if we see that even a little spider can do something similar, why can't the Lord do something, expand something from Himself, utilize it to capture the conditioned souls and wind it up without, getting caught in Himself? A spider can do it, but God can't. So then he goes on to, now the next verse goes on, the purport especially discusses this Bhakti Yoga and Krishna consciousness aspect. But I'll read the translation of 12 first. As one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of a cow, food grains and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood from industrial enterprises, so by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favour or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this. So, a lot of this purport, Srila Prabhupada is describing how these things, deriving fire from wood, the use of having milk rather than, sinful foods, intoxications and meats, you're working on the land instead of, ugra karma or horrific sort of destructive industries and like that. So he describes that if one follows these pious activities, it's very conducive to bhakti, and bhakti is required. That is the thing that's required, because by that one can approach, understand, see, and perceive the personality of Godhead. So So the point being made is that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Niguna, not to be found within this material world, the entire world is pervaded by Him. As stated in Gita, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam, the material world is nothing but an expansion of the Lord's material energy, and the entire cosmic manifestation rests upon Him. Matstani Savabhutani. Nonetheless, the Supreme Lord cannot be found here. Na chaham te svavastita. A devotee, however, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the practice of bhakti yoga. One ordinarily does not begin to practice bhakti yoga unless he has practiced it in his previous births. Moreover, one can begin bhakti yoga only by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna. So he quotes Sri Guru Vandana by Narottam Das Thakur. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. Oh, no, that's actually a verse by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. The seed of devotional service is obtainable by the mercy of Guru, the spiritual master, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then, you know, we sing that every morning in the Guru Vandana. This principle. Let's see if I can find that. Okay, Sri Guru Vandana. Text number one. Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. That the lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only ways by which we can attain pure devotional service. I bow down to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By his grace, one can cross the ocean of material suffering and obtain the mercy of Krishna. So actually, as stated here, that the only way one can take to the path of bhakti yoga is to learn the art of bhakti under the bhakta, you know, the very advanced bhakta. Otherwise, one cannot understand bhakti or practice bhakti. So, the, you know, three things, the bhakta, the devotee, bhakti, and Bhagavan, the object of bhakti, they're all transcendental, they're all spiritual. None of them can be understood by just academic understanding. Neither the bhakta, you know, the guru, the Vaishnava, nor the process of bhakti, nor the object of bhakti. They're all spiritual. As I described before, the Lord is more subtle than the most subtle thing. There are many subtle things that are very, very difficult even for the great scientists to understand. And amongst all the sciences, the supreme science, the most subtle, is that of bhakti. So, you know, one has to approach someone who is expert in bhakti. Apart from that, you know, the spiritual master, you know, the path of bhakti is executed under guidance as well. See, even if one, you know, hears a little bit about it and gets a little understanding of something, oh, this bhakti, it still has to be executed under guidance. Right? So like a doctor. Someone says, oh, I've read a little bit about how to become a doctor. So they might get a little understanding. But it's not possible to become a doctor unless you practice under a doctor. And there's a lot of dangers if one doesn't. You know, you become, try and become an electrician. without going under the authorized person. Someone says, oh, the power line's come down. Mm. The other day, a person living in Melbourne, big wind, knocked down some power lines, fell to the ground.
Mm.
So he and started just a little fire in the front garden, not much. He thought, oh, I'll get the garden hose and put it out. He ended up fried. He fried to a crisp.
Yeah,
right in front of his children. Very sad. Yeah. I'm not laughing. But you know, when you're dealing with God,
mm.
very powerful. You know, when you're dealing with something of great power.
It's in Melbourne.
What's that?
It's in Melbourne.
Those are Melbourne, yeah. Just last week. It was on the news. Very sad, you know, right in front of his children. And so, you know, bhakti has to be understood through a devotee because it's a spiritual science. And it has to be practiced under the guidance of a devotee. So, now, if a person is in the bodily concept of life, I am this body, I am the enjoyer of this material world, yes, let me go and do some bhakti. Bhakti properly begins when we understand that I'm not this material body, I'm a spirit soul, and what's more, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Bhakti proper begins from that point. How is it possible to become the servant of Krishna, to serve Krishna, to reciprocate with God when one is competing with God? For millions of lifetimes. So, and, you know, people have been reading the Gita for thousands of years. And as Krishna says, all the Jnanis are reading the Gita. Amongst them, you know, they understand, yes, I'm not this body. They may come to that understanding, I'm not this body. They may even get that understanding from Gita, but Krishna, they do not know. One in millions may get that understanding. Krishna is God. How do you perform bhakti if you're, what to speak of, you know, being the servant of God? Who is God? How do you perform? You don't even know who God is. So, you know, it's just not possible. You know, someone wants to be a surgeon. Say, oh yes, you're good with a scalpel. Oh, what's that? What about a stethoscope? Never heard of it. you know, we've got to sort out the veins in this body. Oh, what are the veins? So, you know, bhakti, it must be done under the guidance of the spiritual master. It's received through the spiritual master. But if one doesn't approach the spiritual master, the Vaishnava, Krishna will not even allow that initial understanding or faith, the seed even to begin. You know, there'll be nothing. Therefore, people, you know, study Gita, they study Srimad Bhagavatam, they study Chaitanya Charitamrita, they study the Vedas. No one can understand Krishna as God. And in the end of it, they want to become one with God so that they can become God, not the servant of God. So, you know, it is only through guru. It's not a so much, you know, a mystical thing as a very practical thing. Essential. You know, these things, when people read that, they think it's something. Oh, there must be some mystery behind that. It's very practical. Now, then, so that is, we sing that every day, you know. The lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. You cannot get bhakti. You cannot get onto that path of bhakti without that. So then he says that only by the practice of bhakti yoga can one achieve the favour of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and see him face to face. Pramanjana charita bhakti balochinin santasa deva hridayesha balokayanti. One cannot see the Lord by other methods such as karma, jnana or yoga. Under the direction of the spiritual master, one must cultivate bhakti yoga, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam. Then, even within this material world, although the Lord is not visible, a devotee can see him. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, bhakti mama vijanati yuvanyas chasmi tatvadaha, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti-hamikayagraya. Thus, by devotional service, one can achieve the favour of the Supreme Person of Godhead, although he is not visible or understandable to materialistic persons. Now, and this verse, you know, compares that process of bhakti, as Prabhupada will give, you know, that many material activities by friction, you know, you get fire from wood, by digging you get the earth, you get food grains and water, by agitating the milk bag of the cow one can get nectar and milk, etc. So bhakti is like that, you know, the process actually helps to manifest the personality of Godhead. And this here also, towards the end of this purport, now if we just go back to this Sri Guru Vandana, it says, Yahara Prasada Bhai E Bhavatariya Krishna Prapti Haya Yaha Aite. The second verse is, my only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Attachment to his lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. He opens my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. He is my Lord birth after birth. From him ecstatic prema emanates, by him ignorance is destroyed. The Vedic scriptures sing of his character. So, bhakti yoga begins with hearing from the Vaishnava, the Guru. And therefore, you know, Guru Mukhya Padma Vakya, that when one hears about the process of bhakti, how to practice it, and then a person puts their faith in that, full faith in that, and practices that, then Divya Gyan Hride Prakasito, that, you know, one is and you know, this Prema Bhakti Yahoiti Abhijya Vanasi Yati, that the one is, one's ignorance is removed, or one's, you know, eyes are open, one comes to the light, one comes out of darkness, and one can see everything with the light of knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Then, if one understands, okay, so I must take to the path of bhakti under the spiritual master, Krishna, what is it? Krishna Prapti Haya Yaha Haite. If one follows the instructions of the spiritual master, the Vaishnava can give you Krishna because he has Krishna. He's seen the truth. Krishna has given himself to the Vaishnava, and therefore the spiritual master has seen Krishna or the truth. So to get Krishna, you have to go to one who has Krishna. That is the way you know, Krishna works. One cannot go directly to Krishna. You know, Krishna will not accept that. So so this and then so what happens is prema bhakti hoiti, that the spiritual master, seeing that, you know, the persons are coming from the material platform, from the platform of sinful life, engaged in so many material activities which are not service to Krishna, but utilizing the property of Krishna for sense gratification. Coming from that sinful background, the spiritual master gives the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, which is, you know, the rules and regulations mentioned in the Shastras, by which a person becomes purified. You know, one practices performing pious, purified activities in Krishna consciousness, and by that process, one no longer engages in sinful activities. So, of course, you know, one cannot automatically give up all of one's activities and take to a whole different set of activities. So the spiritual master in the scriptures, they have a process of easing one, you know, very powerful process by which one can actually, you know, gradually replace bad sinful activities with very enjoyable and pious activities. As long as one remains on the sinful platform, one cannot advance. So, you know, in other words, sinful activity is based upon ignorance, and sinful activities is based upon having attachment to enjoying on the bodily platform the objects of sense gratification in the material world. But bhakti is the opposite of renouncing all sense gratification in the material world, and instead utilizing everything in the service of Krishna. So the two don't go together. You can't mix the fire and the water. So that's why it's quoted here. Yesham tandigitam papam chinanam punyakamanam tejvandva moha nimukta bhajanti mamridabhrita. The persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Now, again, by doing that, then prema bhakti comes. So that from the spiritual master comes prema bhakti. But generally, one may think, yes, let me take to this spiritual life and know God. I'll get this love of God, and then I'll know God, that I hear. But actually, to get the love of God, then one has to practice the under the guidance, you know, step by step. No, there's this step, then there's this step, then there's this step, like this. But we do not know the steps. Then the circumstances, here we see, then what are you doing in Kali Yuga? You can read all the scriptures and things like that, and you think, oh, you know, it says, you know, do this, it says to do that, you know, brahmacharya, controlling the mind, the senses, charity, so many different things. Yes, I will do that. Kali Yuga, no one's going to be able to do any of that. So, therefore, the guru will say, yes, but for these circumstances, and for how, you know, mad you have become. So imagine the illness, say someone's disease. What is their disease? They're mad. Prabhupada says, it's one of the hardest diseases to cure. It's very hard to cure the disease of madness. If a person has become mad, it's very hard to cure a person of madness. You know, someone has a cold, okay, but madness is very different. In Kali Yuga, they're all mad, and they're going to take to Prema Bhakti. See? So again, the nature of the guru, like a doctor, you know, very severe circumstances, you can't avoid like that. So, you know, accepting the guru, it's not like someone is being an elitist, you know. Only those who have a guru can come in here. Do you have a guru? No. Okay. When you've got one, come back. We'll let you. You know, it's not like that. It's not some club, you know, or some fashion. Or, you know, it is very practical. So this verse here describes exactly what we read every morning. That's it, exactly, you know, Sri Guru Charana is meant, you know, here. This is where personalities like Narottam Das Thakur, one may think, oh, he's made up his own song, you know, made up his own words. But these words are based on all these, you sum up all this knowledge, and it's exactly what is stated throughout all the Vedas. Now, you know, you get personalities. See, this is one of the difficulties with personalities like Sai Baba. A lot of people, even today, you know, when I go to a lot of, you know, even congregational people's homes, they've got Prabhupada, they've got Lord Chaitanya, they've got Krishna, and they've got Sai Baba. You know, the Sadhu. Now, the problem is, and this is, you know, because people don't understand the principle of the guru, that they will put him there. As far as it's known, Sai Baba didn't have a guru. If he did, no one knows who it is. Right? No one, you know. As far,
big Sai.
The other one that was actually a bit more saintly. Yeah. 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 Not the big, crazy.
Satya
Sai Baba. Is that it? The first one? Yeah. Which one?
Big
he's such a, yeah. He didn't have a guru. So anyone who approaches him never learns the principle that all gurus have taught. That the first principle of bhakti yoga is to accept a guru. So anyone who approaches Sai Baba, oh, we don't need to, you know, he's never taught it. Then he teaches correctly that you can take, because there was a lot of trouble stirred up between the Hindus and the Muslims and that, so he tried to help people get a little peace. You know, it's all the same. They're teaching the same thing. You know, Muslim religion, you know, Hinduism, see, like that. The fact is that the essence is the same, but he didn't tell, you know, what is the essence? Can you become a Christian without accepting this guru, Jesus? No. Can you become a Muslim without accepting the guru, Muhammad? No. Can you become a Buddhist without accepting the guru, Buddha? No. That he hasn't taught them. And that's the essence. Yes, the essence is the same, but they will think, oh, if it's all the same, we can take any part from anyone. So, for instance, if we take the example of a doctor, someone says, he's a doctor, he's a doctor, he's a doctor, they're all doing the same thing. Oh, good, okay. I'm going to get a little bit of his medicine. I'm going to get a little bit of his medicine. I'm going to get a little bit of that one, mix them all together, make my own little medicine, down the hatch, I'll be cured. Because it's all the same. What is the same is this, that they're all practicing medicine, how to cure people, and they all insist upon this. You must follow, if you've come to them, you must follow what they have given it and not mix it with other things that may interfere of your own imagination. They'll all insist upon that. See? So the parts which are essentially the same, they do not know. And they're mixing as they please without a guru because he never taught them you need a guru. See? So this is very dangerous. The main thing which is essential throughout all the Vedas, and this is what, again, Narottam Das calls, he says, don't think it's just me saying this. Vede Gaya Haracharito. The Vedic scriptures sing his character, the guru. The Vedic scriptures are singing constantly. You can't go through the Vedas without finding this principle. You must approach the guru to get that higher knowledge that you require. You don't just make it up. And what does a guru teach? He teaches that knowledge which is the Shastra. He doesn't make it up himself. And how does he become a guru? Because he has a guru. He has followed that process. Lord Chaitanya followed that process. Krishna followed that process. All the acharyas followed that. And then someone comes along trying to teach the essence of the Vedas and doesn't even follow the essence themselves. So this is the problem. You know, because he didn't follow an authorized process with a guru, he's actually caused great damage. Even in innocently trying to help people, but without doing it under the guidance of a guru, no one has become a devotee of Krishna. Everyone who follows that process simply remains on the platform of mental sense gratification, just doing bhakti, which is not bhakti. They can't see what bhakti is, but they're serving their own mind and senses in the name of bhakti to the Lord. Okay? So therefore, bhakti only comes from guru. So that's an example of that. And this principle of the necessity of a guru, if that is not understood, there is no advancement from that point. Only havoc. And the guru must be, the acharya is one who understands the shastras, who behaves according to the shastras, and teaches his disciples what he has learned from the shastras. That is called acharya, guru. If one is not in that position, they're not qualified. So, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is saying, in Kali Yuga, what is a medicine? Don't go taking a little bit from here, there and everywhere, because none of it will work in Kali Yuga. Especially if you do that. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. So he gives the medicine that works. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, is Krishna himself, and who better to be the guru than the personality of Godhead himself? So, you know, this is very verse here. Okay, so text 13. Elephants afflicted by a forest fire become very happy when they get water from the Ganges. Similarly, O my Lord, from whose navel grows a lotus flower, since you have now appeared before us, we have become transcendentally happy. By seeing your Lordship, whom we have desired to see for a very long time, we have achieved our ultimate goal of life. Now, again, Prabhupada, very important statements that the devotees of the Lord are always very eager to see the Supreme Lord face to face, but they do not demand that the Lord come before them, for a pure devotee considers such a demand to be contrary to devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches this lesson in his Shishastika. So, you know, sometimes devotees think they're not allowed to ask for anything. They're not allowed to desire anything, even to see the Lord face to face. But actually we are. But we don't make any demands. It's natural, actually, to, you know, have that strong desire. In fact, Prabhupada encourages in many, many lectures, even in this purport, we should have that desire. We should be greedy for that. But we're not going to make a demand, and we're not going to force the Lord or, you know, attempt for the Lord to, you know, to appear before us face to face in an unauthorized way. We're going to be the humble servant of the servant of the servant, you know, of the spiritual master who has taken shelter of Krishna, you know, the love of the gopis. We're going to, follow the proper path. But we should have that desire. The desire to go back to Godhead. The desire to be a pure devotee. We don't demand these things, but it's natural that we aspire for that. You know, we'd like to serve Krishna properly. You know, when a devotee says, "I'd like to be a pure devotee," it means I'm really making a mess of things. I wish I could serve Krishna nicely, properly, you know, like purely. It's not. So Prabhupada says, when he was commenting on this Sri Guru Vandana, Chitete Kriya, was it? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kuri Akya. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Attachment to his lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. It's there. Navatam Dastakor is saying, yeah, there are so many desires. And as we progress on the path of devotional service, our material desires disappear. You know, Abhija Vinasa, you can't have material desires and have Prema Bhakti. So we have so many spiritual desires to see the Lord face to face, you know, to be able to serve the Lord, you know, eternally in the spiritual world, if the Lord so desires. So many different desires. But a devotee doesn't set about trying to fulfill all those desires. He takes the advice of Narottam Das Thakur of the scriptures, and that is, let me hear from the spiritual master what is his instructions, and let me carry out those instructions. And Prabhupada says, in commenting on that, he says, don't bother whether you are spiritually advanced or not. Don't bother with that. You just carry the orders and execute them and help others. Automatically, all your desires will be fulfilled. Don't you bother to become so advanced you're fulfilling all these different desires, seeing the Lord face to face, so many things like that. You execute, you just hear from the Guru, from the Vaishnava, and carry his words. That's what he says. You carry those words. You carry them in your heart. You carry them to others. See? So in that way, one is not guilty of, you know, asking, demanding from the Lord things that one is not qualified for, or, you know, making the Lord the servant of our desires. Our only desire is to hear from Guru, take those words and carry them. No other desire. But Narottam Das, of course, says you do that and all your desires will be fulfilled. You're not even bothering about them. Like that. So, you know, this verse here, as you see, how did these devotees come to see the Lord appear before them? What was Lord Brahma doing? Vishnu, I know you're there. Come on, come out. I know you're over there. Come out. No. He had heard, you know, he understood how to, offer glorification of the Lord. He was instructed by the Lord himself. He carried those words to the Lord, and he nicely served the Lord in a humble mood, and the Lord fulfilled his desires. But his guru was actually Krishna himself. But it's the same principle. So, you know, so Prabhupada says the devotee is always eager to see the Lord face to face. But if he is brokenhearted because he cannot see the Lord, even life after life, he will never command the Lord to appear. This is a sign of pure devotion. So devotee, you know, they're very greedy, very anxious to see the Lord face to face. That's pure devotion, but done in the right way. It's not against the principle. It's not against the principle of devotion of service to want to go back to Godhead. We're being encouraged to go back to Godhead. Krishna is saying in the Gita, this material world is a place of misery. We're being encouraged to go back to Godhead. But it's done in the proper way that my only desire is to hear the words of the Vaishnava, the Guru, and carry those words in my heart and to serve those instructions. That's my only desire. But I'm confident if there are some desires which are filling my heart, they will be fulfilled automatically. Not that I'm going to demand it or neglect the orders of the spiritual master to pursue that separately. So, therefore in this verse we find the word atichira ipsita atam, meaning that the devotee aspires for a long, long time to see the Lord. If the Lord, by his own pleasure, appears before the devotee feels extremely happy, as Dhruva Maharaj felt when he personally saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure devotee, whether able or unable to see the Lord, always engages in the Lord's devotional service, always hoping that at some time the Lord may be pleased to appear before him so that he can see the Lord face to face. So then verse 14. My Lord, we, the various demigods, the directors of this universe, have come to your lotus feet. Please fulfill the purpose for which we have come. You are the witness of everything from within and without. Nothing is unknown to you, and therefore it is unnecessary to inform you again of anything. And again, Prabhupada explains that he knows what we need. Our duty, therefore, is to execute devotional service sincerely under the direction of the spiritual master. Krishna, by his grace, will supply whatever we need in executing our devotional service. In the Krishna consciousness movement, we simply have to execute the order of Krishna and Guru, then all necessities will be supplied by Krishna, even if we do not ask for them. So it's the same principle there. Attachment to his lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. You see how expert Narottam Das Thakur is in just creating this wonderful song, which is, you know, not just the essence of the Vedas, but something that people read the Vedas and never understand and never see, as you were saying in the beginning. And that which people will never see is actually the main thing, which is under a bright spotlight to the pure devotees. Oh, this we should take. This is the main thing. This is the nectar. This is the gem. This is what we're looking for. This is the essence. This is the heart of everything. They see clearly. I, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the demigods, accompanied by the Prajapatis like Daksha, are nothing but sparks illuminated by you, who are the original fire. Since we are particles of you, what can we understand about our welfare, O Supreme Lord? Please give us the means of deliverance that is suitable for the Brahmanas and demigods. So, of course, generally, you know, the Brahmanas, chant the Gayatri Mantra and certain things which are not available to others. But in this day and age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given the holy name which is suitable for everyone. Yeah. And Prabhupada says, we cannot invent any means to be delivered from the dangers of material existence. And, you know, they're compared to be, you know, Brahma, Shiva, Prajapatis. They're said to be like illuminating sparks in the presence of the Supreme Lord, who is compared to a great fire. Sparks are beautiful as long as they are in the fire. Similarly, we have to remain in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always engage in devotional service. For then we shall always be brilliant and illuminating. As soon as we fall from the service of the Lord, our brilliance and illumination will immediately be extinguished, or at least stop for some time. Yeah. When we living entities who are like sparks of the original fire, the Supreme Lord, fall into a material condition, we must take the mantra from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as it is offered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, we shall be delivered from all the difficulties of this material world. And as we see that in this Kali Yuga, the Lord himself and the gurus in Parampara from Krishna himself are saying that the medicine is the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. Don't be taking from this one and that one. Take the main medicine. It is the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, not other things. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the Lord was thus offered prayers by the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, he understood the purpose for which they had approached him. Therefore, in a deep voice that resembled the rumbling of clouds, the Lord replied to the demigods, who all stood there attentively with folded hands. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of the demigods, was capable of performing the activities of the demigods himself, he wanted to enjoy pastimes in churning the ocean. Therefore, he spoke as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the other demigods, please hear me with great attention, for what I say will bring good fortune for all of you. As long as you are not flourishing, you should make a truce with the demons and asuras who are now being favored by time. So these demons, they were being favoured by time and Sukracharya, he was a Brahmin, the spiritual master of the Deities. And so in both ways they were favoured, and therefore the demigods were advised by the Supreme Lord to execute a truce for the time being until time favoured them. O demigods, fulfilling one's own interests is so important that one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. Here's a really nice example. A snake and a mouse were once caught in a basket. Now, since the mouse is food for the snake, this was a good opportunity for the snake. However, since both of them were caught in the basket, even if the snake ate the mouse, the snake would not be able to get out. Therefore, the snake thought it wise to make a truce with the mouse and asked the mouse to make a hole in the basket so that both of them could get out. The snake's intention was that after the mouse made the hole, the snake would eat the mouse and escape from the basket through the hole. This is called the logic of the snake and the mouse.
Cunning.
Huh?
Cunning logic.
Yeah. Well, it's...
So that's what demigods did later.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the demigods are the snake and the demons are the mouse. So, and Krishna wants to see the fun of Vishnu. So, as you can see, because of Indra's curse, who was it, Agastya? Was it Agastya Muni or they cursed him? Or is he
I think it's nowhere the name of the sage is mentioned. It's just
the one
Indra got cursed to become a pig. That's all it's
No, saying. The one about the garland. Indra threw the garland to the elephant. And the elephant chucked it on the ground.
Durvasa.
Yeah. Agastya was the another curse, but it was a previous another incident.
He said Ahalya whole body. He had eyes all over the body later.
So Durvasa, yeah. So you know, Vishnu is not going to overturn the fact that Indra has insulted, you know, the spiritual master. Mm. He's not going to override that. So time's not with them. At the same time, he's able to do something. But this is a very important principle for preaching. You know, for preaching, sometimes, you know, individually or, you know, as a society, we do have to cooperate to some degree or another, work with people of... a very sinful background, for the time being, until the momentous growth of the Hare Krishna movement consumes him like a snake. So, immediately endeavor to produce nectar, which is... which a person who is about to die may drink to become immortal. O demigods, cast into the ocean milk all kinds of vegetables, grass, creepers and drugs. Then, with my help, making Mandara Mountain the churning rod and Vishuki the rope for churning, churn the ocean of milk with undiverted attention. Thus the demons will be engaged in labour, but you, the demigods, will gain the actual result, the nectar produced from the ocean. My dear demigods, with patience and peace, everything can be done. But if one is agitated by anger, the goal is not achieved. Therefore, whatever the demons ask, agree to their proposal. A poison known as Kalakuta will be generated from the ocean of milk, but you should not fear it. And when various products are churned from the ocean, you should not be greedy for them or anxious to obtain them, nor should you be angry.
Very tactful.
Yeah.
Cunning is the right word.
Tactful.
But again, you see the benefit of taking shelter of someone who knows everything.
Mm.
They don't know what's going to come.
Mm.
And, you know, Guru is like that as well.
Mm.
He's teaching bhakti. When the guru knows what will happen if we try to control our mind and senses in an artificial way or too quickly, then we have it. Or if we try to push forward with advancement in Krishna consciousness too quickly, above, again have it. If we go too slow, too lazy, problem. It's like driving a car. You know, when you drive a car, if you're learning to drive a car, the teacher would say, we're going to get on the freeway now. You can't drive 10 miles an hour. You can't drive 150 miles an hour. And he'll tell you exactly what will happen. So, again, the necessity of guru, who's represented, you know, a representative of Krishna. It's just not possible. It's not possible for someone to learn how to drive, especially in Kali Yuga, without having a teacher. It'd be death. So many problems. You know, if someone said that to people, yeah, get your license, see if you can do it without a teacher, they'd laugh. But you know, you say, oh, yeah, practice bhakti, no teacher. You know, you're dealing with God, do whatever you like, see what happens. Yeah. They'll do. So, Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, after advising the demigods in this way, the independent supreme personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities, disappeared from their presence. Then Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, after offering their respectful obeisances to the Lord, returned to their abodes. All the demigods then approached Maharaj Bali. Maharaj Bali, a most celebrated king of the demons, knew very well when to make peace and when to fight. Thus, although his commanders and captains were agitated and were about to kill the demigods, Maharaj Bali, seeing that the demigods were coming to him without a militant attitude, forbade his commanders to kill them. So this is the Vedic etiquette, and he knows that. When enemies come to their opponent's palace, they should be received in such a way that they will forget that there is animosity between the two parties. And Prabhupada says this kind of treatment was prevalent even during the fight between the Pandavas and the Kurus. During the day, the Pandavas and the Kurus would fight at the utmost strength, and when the day was over, they'd go to each other's camps as friends and be received as such. During such friendly meetings, one enemy would offer anything the other enemy wanted. That was the system. Yeah. The demigods approached Bali Maharaj, the son of Rochan, and sat down near him. Bali Maharaj was protected by the commanders of the demons and was most opulent, having conquered all the universes. After pleasing Bali Maharaj with mild words, Lord Indra, the king of the demigods, who was most intelligent, very politely submitted all the proposals he had learned from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. The proposals submitted by King Indra were immediately accepted by Bali Maharaj and his assistants, headed by Shambhara and Arishtanemi, and by all other residents of Tripura. Yeah. So, Prabhupada, it appears from this verse that politics, diplomacy, and the propensity to cheat and everything that we find in this world in individual and social negotiations between two parties are also present in the upper planetary systems. So, Prabhupada's saying that the daichas, the demons, immediately accepted it, thinking that since the demigods were already weak, when the nectar was produced, the demons would take it for them and use it for their own purposes. The demigods had similar intent. The demons would take it and use it themselves. And the demigods, of course, had similar intentions. The only difference is that the Supreme Person of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, was on the side of the demigods because they were because the demigods were his devotees. Whereas the demons did not care about Lord Vishnu. All over the universe, there are two parties, the Vishnu party, or God-conscious party, and the godless party. The godless party is never happy or victorious, but the God-conscious party is always happy and victorious. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan Ghi Jai. O Maharaj Parikshit, chastised with the enemies, the demigods, and the demons, thereafter made an armistice between them. Then, with great enterprise, they arranged to produce nectar as proposed by Lord Indra. Thereafter, with great strength, the demons and demigods, who were all very powerful and who had long, stout arms, uprooted Mandara Mountain. Crying very loudly, they brought it toward the ocean of milk. Because of conveying the great mountain for a long distance, King Indra, Bali Maharaj, and the other demigods and demons became fatigued. Being unable to carry the mountain, they left it on the way. The mountain known as Mandara, which was extremely heavy, being made of gold, fell and smashed many demigods and demons. The demigods and demons were frustrated and disheartened, and their arms, thighs, and shoulders were broken. Therefore, the Supreme Person of God, who knows everything, appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda. Observing that most of the demons and demigods had been crushed by the falling of the mountain, the Lord glanced over them and brought them back to life. Thus they became freed from grief, and they even had no bruises on their bodies. The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons. I'll just read the last. Thereafter, Garuda, the chief of birds, unloaded Mandara Mountain from his shoulder and brought it near the water. Then he asked the Lord to leave that place, and he left. Yes, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, this is the nature of God, that he can do such wonderful activities. And let's read this last purport about Garuda. That Garuda was asked by the Lord to leave that place because the snake Vasuki, who was used as a rope for churning, could not go there in the presence of Garuda. Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, is not a vegetarian. He eats big snakes. Vasuki, being a great snake, would be natural food for Garuda, the chief of birds. Lord Vishnu therefore asked Garuda to leave so that Vasuki could be brought to churn the ocean of Mandara Mountain, which was to be used as a churning rod. These are the wonderful arrangements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing takes place by accident. Carrying Mandara Mountain on the back of a bird and putting it in its right position might be difficult for anyone, whether demigod or demon. But for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is possible as shown by this pastime. The Lord had no difficulty lifting the mountain with one hand, and Garuda, his carrier, carried all the demons and demigods together by the grace of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is known as Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic power, because of his omnipotence. If he likes, he can make anything lighter than cotton or heavier than the universe. Those who do not believe in the activities of the Lord cannot explain how things happen. Using words like accident, they take shelter of ideas that are unbelievable. Nothing is accidental. Everything is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 9.10. Whatever actions and reactions occur within the cosmic manifestation, all take place under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, because the demons do not understand the potency of the Lord, when wonderful things are done, the demons think they're accidental. So a lot of people, you know, when they look at what Prabhupada did in preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, you know, they like to say, oh, he appeared at a certain time, there were so many hippies and the time was right and so many things, and therefore, you know, it was natural that, you know, he managed to get a few followers and, you know, so many different things. And, you know, they say that from India, they say that from, you know, the historians and so many things. But actually, it's unheard of that someone could come with 40 rupees and turn it into $40 million and spread, you know, this religion all over the world, accepted by people of all races and castes and creeds and religion. That's unheard of in the history. It's not, you know, thank God there were a few hippies there at that time. You know. Prabhupada did something that was impossible. The more you look at it, the more impossible it is. It is inconceivable, cannot be repeated. He was empowered by the personality of Godhead. And in this Sri Guru Vandana, that is Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada said, we're all trying to preach Krishna consciousness. That means, you know, we're preaching amongst devotees. There are devotees who want to understand how to do things. We're preaching amongst the non-devotees. They're following Sai Baba and this one and that one. It's almost an impossible task. But Prabhupada explained that, how do we prepare ourselves to be preachers? Because Lord Chaitanya has ordered everyone become guru. You know, you become qualified, you teach these principles of Krishna. And Prabhupada says, how do you become qualified? You become qualified by being a sincere servant of the spiritual master, hearing from him and carrying his words. And if you carry the words of the spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will empower you to be a preacher, you know, to perform that service. And Prabhupada says, preaching is not so easy that anyone and everyone can do it. No. Unless one is authorized by the authorized Vaishnava, one cannot do. And to the degree one is authorized, that much one can do. And he says that authorization process comes by, you know, being the just having one desire, and that is to serve the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And if one does that, that personality who can lift mountains and, you know, ride on the back of Garuda, he can help us to preach a little bit, you know, in this world. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. All right, so we'll see you next week, and we're going to look at chapter 7. Lord Shiva saves the universe by drinking poison. Some purpose there, but I wouldn't be surprised if we cover that whole chapter next week. Especially, you know, if devotees have sort of pre-read it. Now, that's what I'm trying to do, just, you know, really push through a little bit. There's 15 chapters, right, in this section, I think. So we're next week will be almost halfway through. Excellent.